Good morning and welcome to worship, and we welcome any visitors in Jesus' precious name, and we pray that at this time you find a time of blessing to be with God and to know who He is. Our intimations, before I forget, there's the Ayr Community Choir on the 11th of October down at Ardeer. There's going to be about 90 of the choir. How they're all getting on the chancel, I have no idea. But there'll be about 90 of them, so it'd be nice to have at least 90 of them of us to watch them. So please do consider that. There's posters at the back there, and I think, Dorothy, you've got tickets. Our discipleship group, I'll say a bit more about this during the service, but our discipleship group was the midweek worship. Begins on Tuesday, 19th of September, in the small hall at 10:30. The change of day comes about because I just can't manage enough Wednesdays. So please do come to that. I'll say a bit more about it. The opening meeting of the Guild will be on the 12th of September at 1:30 in the church hall. Syllabus will be discussed, decisions made, and new members will always be welcomed. And it is the Guild, not the Women's Guild. So, gentlemen, please consider that. Coffee morning at the High Kirk Halls on the same morning, the 12th, 10:30. That's getting a bit busy. Tuesdays are going to be busy. So that's that to think about as well. Have we got anything else? That's it? Great. As we come before worship, our call to worship is from Micah 6. It's a bit where it's the Lord's case against Israel, and he's saying, what is it the Lord would be pleased with? And the question is this: and what does the Lord require of you? And the answer is to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Let's worship God together. It's maybe a new one, I'm not sure. All I once held dear, and we worship together.
Thank you.
have set our hope on the living God, who is the Saviour of all. Let's pray. Stir up, O Lord, the wills of your faithful people, that richly bearing the fruit of good works, we may by you be richly rewarded. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. It was quite a few years ago. I was at the police college. I was kind of reminded of this on Friday. I was through at the police college on Friday for my nephew's passing out parade. And somebody had said to me, "Has it changed much?" The answer is no, it's not. It was 36 years since my last passing out parade, and it was more or less the same thing. But it reminded me of some of the stuff I'd done at the college, and one was a leadership training program, and we'd all been given a wee puzzle to do in teams, and it was not quite this, but something similar to this. First puzzle's to get the bag open. Somebody's jinxed me here. I think I might need that. Wait a minute, here we go. There they are. See, problem solving. But one of the things we had to do was build a bridge. We had to build a bridge out of Lego, not stuff like this, but the real Lego, the wee stuff. And we had to estimate how long it would take us to build the bridge, and indeed how many bricks that were going to be needed. And then they said to us, "But it's got to be bigger, so one of your team can go under the bridge. So it's got to already be a fairly size." Even at that time, I was counted out of that race, because the bridge would have had to be considerably bigger than someone else who was in our team. So someone who was much thinner got that job. But we had to then estimate, and the thing they threw us at the end was, we had to estimate the time it would take, and then they said, "But the person who goes under the bridge has to go up, touch the wall at the back, and come back to the team. That's when your time stops." Now, they conned us all into it was a race. It wasn't a race, but we were conned into this whole idea of it being a race. But the most important thing was, and it was one of the team that said, "Does anyone have any experience of building with Lego?" Well, we all put our hand up. And then another, he said, "So, okay, is anyone an engineer in a past life?" And one put their hand up. So he got the job of designing the bridge. But the important thing about that is there was someone to do that job. And really, when we think of what we're doing, that someone for us in building, whether it's a bridge or a house, that someone is God, that we give that to follow a direction from him. I've now put all these things out and I realise I'm going to have to put them back, unless anyone wants to play with them. But as we remember that God is God, and God is the one whom we follow, and we sing together that hymn, "Who put the colours in the rainbow?" It's a hymn that reminds us of just where God is in our lives. So let's sing together. "Who put the colours in the rainbow?" Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Almighty God, Creator, Redeemer, we come before you this morning to worship you. We come as your labourers, ready to share with you in the building up of your kingdom in this place. Father, you tell us that unless the Lord builds a house, the labourers build in vain. So we acknowledge you as the architect, the creator, the builder, and come to take our place in your plan. Scripture tells us you build a place where you will be Father and we will be your children. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. Father, in your mercy and your grace, you gave of yourself. You gave your only begotten Son for us, and he lived, was betrayed, denied, tried, crucified, died, and was buried. But he rose again, and is now living so that we are forgiven and set free. Father, there are times when we must seem like those that tried to build a tower at Babel, a tower to reach heaven, an arrogance where we try to be God and not let you be God. Father, teach us to keep you at our very centre, and forgive us when we begin to look at ourselves as the centre, the all. Father, forgive us when we make the plans and seek to build the house or guard the city without you. Forgive us in the times when we think that we can do all without you. And Lord, we rejoice that through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. And so by your Spirit now, release us from the chains of our sins, from the burdens which hold us to this world, and set us free to follow you all the days of our lives. Hear us as we say together the words which Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's worship together. Great is thy faithfulness.
Thank you.
we move to a reading from Psalm 127. It's the next one on our list from the Psalms of Ascent and the Psalms which the people would have sung as they go to worship the temple at Jerusalem. Thank you.
A Song of Ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labour in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court.
May God add his blessing to his reading of his word. To him be all glory, honour and praise. Thanks. We come to our prayers for others. And as always, the reminder of the prayers that are on the prayer tree there, prayers of the people. And as we think about things of joy, again, always God's faithfulness. He is as he is, as he was, and as he will be, ever present and ever with us. From the prayer circle at Ardrossan Presbytery this week, it's the charges of Stevenson, our dear, linked with Livingston. So we get a chance to pray for ourselves and also pray for our brothers and sisters down in our dear. The first meeting of the session was on Tuesday, and the committees also started. So we pray for the committees, but specifically today, Ministries and Superintendents Committee, and the convener, Alan Richardson. From the Crossreach Prayer Diary, it's the White Inch Move On service. And this provides 6 months support to adults who are in recovery from substance misuse and have completed residential rehabilitation. It's something else that the church nationally, Crossreach, are managing, and where the church are involved in the real part of people's lives. And things of concern, well, all we have to do is look at the news. The hurricanes, the troubled storms, the flooding, Cuba, Florida, Texas, Bangladesh, India, Nepal, just to name some of the countries affected. And although we don't always read about violence in the world, there's these ongoing conflicts where people are still involved, still facing tragedy, losing all. But we maybe don't just read about it every day. So let's just keep that world in conflict with violence just in prayer. And we pray for God's peace to be known. That shalom of the Lord to be known. And as we begin to pray, we pray in what's called a prayer circle. So we start with ourselves. And then we kind of move out. It's like a ripple moving out. And so we move out and think about other things as we go. And there'll be wee spaces for you to have your own wee prayer and your own wee thoughts. So let's join together and let's pray. Father, we thank you, for you are our Father, our Lord, our God, our Redeemer. You have done everything for us. You love us, and you call us to us. You call us to yourself. And Lord, as we pray now our own prayers. The prayers for our family, the prayers for our friends, the prayers the things that are enabling us to rejoice and be joyful in you, and the prayers which are holding us back, which are worrying us, these things, the anxiety. And Father, we leave all these things with you. We pray for those who are on our left, on our right, for those who are in front of us or behind us, for those who are seated above us or below us, for those who are a separate bit of this building. And Father, as we pray your Spirit would touch each one at the point of their need. We pray too for those who can't be here this morning for whatever reason. But as we pray that they would know your touch right now. Father, we picture the streets around us, the houses, the school, the shops. And we pray for the people . Pray too for our brothers and sisters at our dear parish church. And Lord, we pray that your people would know your good news, your love. Father, as we extend our prayer out, we pray around the three towns. And then around for the towns and villages around us. And we pray our prayers for this nation, for those in positions of authority, for those who are in Parliament. And Lord, we pray that they would know your ways as they make decisions on our lives. Father, we pray for your world, a world which has been broken with violence, with greed, where people are suffering, having to use dirty water, struggling to find food. We pray for peace and provision in this world. We pray for a time when there will be that shalom. So, Father, as we pray, hear these our prayers, prayed in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. The King of love, my shepherd is. Let's just worship him again. Let's pray. Father, you are our God, our Father, and we come before you. We pray that by your Spirit now, you would fill each one of us and lead us in our thoughts and as we consider your word. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our God. Amen. One of the programs that I really quite enjoy watching is Grand Designs. That program where people have great ideas about a new house, building a new house. There's loads of them. The other one that I quite like is George Clark's Amazing Spaces, and what people do with Volkswagen campers and sheds and boats and all sorts of things, and making them into something that's habitable. You know, but all these things start by someone having a dream, someone having a thought, and some imagination to say, well, we could just do this, couldn't we? Let's just think about this and do this. It all starts by dreaming. But there's also within that, there's a desire to have the best, do the best. And sometimes you see even the folk, they've got their budget, but then they start to buy better stuff and they push the budget, and it's all about having the good quality finishing and all the rest of it. So we see that desire and that striving, it's all human effort. It's what they're doing. They're pushing themselves, and actually some of the people who are working hard to build some of these houses, I get tired just watching them, because they just seem to keep going. And that kind of effort, that kind of work, that kind of desire is nothing new. We read about it in Scripture from Genesis in chapter 11. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That's why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. So a time when the people got together and made a plan to build something so great. The time when a people put such effort and strove to build this city, this power, this tower, to reach up to heavens. And God is not consulted within that. There is no mention of God being asked if that's a good idea. Eugene Peterson, in his book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, says this of the effort. Effort, even if the effort is religious, perhaps especially when the effort is religious, does not in itself justify anything. So our psalmist tells us, unless the Lord builds a house. What house are we talking about? Whose house are we talking about? David wanted to build the temple for God, but God didn't allow him. It wasn't the plan. It wasn't his to do. And so as we start to think about the building and the activity, there is also a danger that we fall into a trap with this psalm. And that's to looking at it in the two ways, the eastern and the western way of the worlds, which are different but are not what God is meaning. The first one, the Babel type, is where the people strive, work hard to go and do, and run away and do things without speaking to God, but they just get on and do loads of things. Life becomes so busy. And the other way is the eastern way of, well, the psalmist says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labour in vain, so why bother? God's going to do it anyway. So let's just sit back, put our feet up, kick back the traces, just take time. It doesn't matter, tomorrow's coming. And the Lord's got it all in control. The psalmist means neither of these things. This is about working together with God. God has shown us in Scripture his way forward. He shows us at the very start in Genesis that he works and creates a balance of life, a way of life. At the very start, he says, the Scripture says, in the beginning God created. And in the beginning God created. And on the seventh day he rested. A balance of life. 6 days of work and a day of rest. And yet we sometimes work in the ways which takes us away from God. You know, it may seem very important work. It may even be a great idea to do. But if we get caught up in the compulsiveness of working, then our connection to God goes. And we lose the balance that he's shown us. Even as we look at Gospels, Jesus shows us that same balance. There are times when he's preaching to many people. There's times when he's surrounded by many people and he's healing people and he's speaking and he's facing up to the Pharisees and he's doing all sorts of things. And then there's other times when he's resting and times when he's spending alone with the Father, just taking that time. So for us, we need to understand who it is that actually builds the house. Who is it that works? What's our position within that? Psalmist also says, unless the Lord watches over the city. How do we know that happens? How can we see God watching over? How can we see God protecting? Because all we have to do is look around the world today and we can see there are times where you could say God's just not there. Things are happening. But God is there. How do we know? We know that in our relationship with him. First and foremost, we're called to that discipleship process, a time of reading Scripture, a time of prayer, a time of just being with God. Whether that's as a group of people together, as a family together, on a Sunday morning or in smaller groups, or whether it's that time on our own, we need to take that time to be in that position of discipleship, of being a disciple. That's what I'm aiming for with the discipleship group. What was the midweek worship? It'll be a slightly different format. We will take time to study the Scriptures. We'll take time to pray together. Maybe sometimes as individuals, maybe sometimes as small groups, maybe sometimes as the big group, whatever size the big group is. it's at 10:30 on a Tuesday, because the reality is I cannot manage every Wednesday. That's the reality of life. I can't do that. So it's on the Tuesday at 10:30, starting on the 19th. Please, please do think about coming. And it's about how we learn together, how we share together, how we are disciples together within this house, being part of this family. And during that time, we're also able to start to say to God, what is it you want us to do? What's next, Lord? What do we do now? How do we do what we do? Because that's important, to know what he's doing. If we were to sit back, put our feet up, and just say, you know what, God will do whatever he wants to do because that's what God does, we are abrogating our own responsibility of our own calling. We're called to work. We are the labourers. We are called to work with God. So it's the Lord who builds a house, and we are the labourers. Because remember too that Jesus makes that reference in harvest, about harvest. The labourers are few, he says, but it's us that are called to do that labouring, that harvest. And so we need to be prepared to work. One of the things that's come to me over the last few months, the question that I start to look at and think about, is when do I see the wondrous cross? Where in all this do I see the wondrous cross? How in all this do I see the wondrous cross? And for me here today, looking at that psalm, it's in the following, in the being the disciple. It's not work, it's a state of being, it's part of relationship, where we get to know the Father closer just by being with him, where we learn to become more Christ-like. That's in the freedom of the forgiveness that Christ has bought us through his death and his resurrection. So for me, we're on a journey together. One of the things that the General Assembly heard in May was the Council Assembly bringing a deliverance that encouraging the church to pray, to look to see where God is doing something new. Because what it says in Scripture, behold, I am doing something new. And so there's a call here from the church for us to sit and pray and look for where God is doing something new. And the idea is, as it should be, that when we see him somewhere, we jump in and join him. And so part of our journey together is to see where he's doing something new. A challenge for each one of us, and it'll be a challenge for the elders as well, to pray that and to look at that. We'll see where God is building the church. We'll see where he's building his house. For it'll be within the church family. The psalmist says, children are a gift from the Lord. They're a real blessing. That blessing, that reward that comes from God, is something that we see not just in our own lives, but in our church family life. As we let God build the house, as we help with him, as we join with him and become one with him, we'll see a new thing. We'll see the church family growing. We'll see children, not necessarily young people, but maybe new people. Not necessarily on a Sunday morning either, but at different times. Somebody might feel quite comfortable bringing their whole family to Messy Church. That might be their only connection with church. But that's a connection with church. When will we see the wondrous cross? When we see God's glory, when we see what he's doing. And for us, it's a case of just taking that time in discipleship and following and focusing on the relationship that each one of us has with the Father through Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And now to him who is able, through the power which is at work among us, to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or conceive, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus from generation to generation forevermore. Amen. And we continue with our offering. Let's pray. Father, we present these, our offerings, tokens of all that you've given, we give back to you. We do so rejoicing that you are our Father, rejoicing that we're able to worship you, and we commit ourselves to you, we dedicate ourselves to you once more. That as we join with you, we would see your people healed, your people taught, your people renewed. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And we sing together, O Jesus, I have promised.
Thank you.
let's pray. Father, we've come before you to worship you, Mahav. We've come before you to give you the glory, Mahav. Be with us now as we leave this place and return to our homes, to the people and to the things that we're going to do. May we know you every step of the way. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with each one of us now and until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore.